I don't know whether you're aware or how aware you are, but the Antichrist is showing himself to a great degree in our age, in the age in which we live. In our public schools, there's something known as Common Core. That's where the government, the federal government, is trying to instill these Common Core, I wouldn't call them necessarily values, they're anti-Christ, certainly trying to push anything to do with Christianity out of our public schools, and actually taking the values of the United Nations and instilling them into our schools instead of parents or local government or state government being in charge of schools. The feds are attempting to take over. And to me, that's nothing more than Antichrist at work. And we're going to see more and more of that. The federal government already is on church turf. I would invite them out to step off of church turf. They have no business on church turf. But this is the world in which we live, and it's an Antichrist world. Who art thou, Lord? And what wilt thou have me to do? Two childlike questions. And Jesus said, except you become as little children, you'll have no part in the kingdom. Today I wish to address religious folks. If you're here and religious, just so you know, I am talking to you. The prostitute, the drug addict, the adulterer, fornicator, you will perish in your sins, but I'm going to give you a break this morning. I'm going to take aim at church members. Baptists, Presbyterians, Catholics, congregation, Church of God in Christ. You're the target. You must be born again. You must have an encounter with the living, sovereign Lord Jesus Christ. In order to go to heaven, you have to have a Damascus Road experience. I don't mean exactly that way, but you must go from death to life. You must be quickened. You've got to be regenerated. There's no doubt in my mind that we have padded our church roles with people who don't know Christ. I myself have been one of them. And even after, it is important where you go to church. It is important what you hear. The Apostle Paul said, for me to repeat myself in the book of Titus, to me it's not grievous, and for you it's safe to keep pounding the gospel of the glory. The gospel of free grace. The gospel of election. The gospel of predestination. The gospel of effectual calling and perseverance of the saints. The gospel of greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. The gospel of we can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth us. The gospel of I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my Father's hands. The gospel of it is well with my soul. The gospel of when I think that God, His Son not sparing, sent Him to die, I scarce can take it in. That on the cross my burden gladly bearing, He bled and died to take away my sin. And can it be that I should gain an interest in the Savior's love? Died He for me who caused His pain. Oh, how marvelous, oh, how wonderful is the Savior's love for me. Down at the cross where my Savior died, there where for cleansing from sin I cried, there to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. A Holy Spirit revelation. A Holy Spirit quickening. Have you experienced that? Has there been a God intervention in your life? You see, this man Saul, the Apostle Paul, was just such a man as many of us were at one time. And maybe some of you here today, you came over to take a look at what the old bar, now a church building, looks like. And we're glad to have you. But you're without Christ. You have a religious pedigree, but you're self-righteous. That's the way Saul of Tarsus was. He was a self-righteous person. I know of nothing that God hates more than self-righteousness. Because God, you see, came in the person of Christ in order that we might have a righteousness. And then you and folks, religious folks, try to duplicate that, and God won't have it. Who art thou, Lord? Saul of Tarsus was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. Highly religious. He had a very high estimate of his own character. Do you? As a child of God today, I have this constant thought. Woke up with it this morning. Oh, wretched man that I am. How good God has been to me. Yes, I do know Christ. Yes, I have passed from death unto life. But I guard against any sense of haughtiness. Amen. Where God does not get all the glory. Here's the Pharisee. He's on his way to Damascus. And he has letters from the high priest. The high priest. Notice it wasn't the president or the leader of the country. It was from the high priest. Had anything to do with religion, is that right? He had authority from religion to put these Christians out of business. He felt armed with great power. He had the backing of religion. And he went on his way to kill Christians. By the way, just in passing, lest I forget, if you heard the scripture reading this morning, you know and heard from scripture that those very Pharisees that the Apostle Paul was at one time a part of tried to kill him three times in that chapter. Murder. In the name of religion. Going to put these Christians out of business, and then when Saul of Tarsus gets saved, they want to kill him. You know, if you read your Bible at all, you'll find two groups of people. Religious and prostitutes and those kind of folks. You also find out that Jesus hung out with sinners. Jesus wasn't a Baptist. I know that hurt some of you. In case I missed some of you. And he wasn't a Presbyterian. He wasn't the first Methodist. So, whatever you are, get off of it, because it'll take you to hell if you don't. Who art thou, Lord?
You need to know the answer to that question. Because without the answer, you'll perish. I'm Jesus whom you persecute. Two men went up to the temple to pray. One, a Pharisee. Here's the way the Pharisees talk. I thank thee, God, that I'm not as other men are, and especially this publican, the tax collector. And then the Pharisees always tell you how good they are. They always brag on themselves. I wouldn't do that if I were you. God's not happy with that. It's to God be the glory. The Bible says that the publican stood afar off. If you ever come to Christ, you'll come there unworthy, bent and broken, in desperate need of a Savior. He stood afar off and smote upon his breast. God be propitiatory. God be the appeasing factor. Let there be a substitute. Be the propitiation for my sins. Satisfy your justice in a lamb. God be merciful to me, the sinner. Like there were no others. Like I'm the only sinner in the world. That's the way you come. You're not looking. It's not my brother or my sister, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. That's the way you come to Christ. The Apostle Paul in Romans 10 said, the Pharisees go about to establish their own righteousness. Is that what you're attempting to do? You'll never do it. You'll never produce a righteousness that will satisfy God. Only God can produce a righteousness that satisfies God. And He did in the person and in the work of Jesus Christ alone. Somebody say amen, because that's the heart of it. You will never establish a righteousness that pleases God. Your best is not good enough. Trying hard is not good enough. The law demands perfection. And you go about to establish your own righteousness, and you know this is true. Every religious person in here who has not come to Christ alone in faith knows this is true. You go about to establish your righteousness. You set it up and it falls down. You set it up and it falls down. You make a New Year's resolution and before the 2nd of January, it falls down. So here's Saul of Tarsus on the way to Damascus. He's going to put these fanatic Christians out of business. He'd let them know who Saul of Tarsus was. That Saul of Tarsus was greater than Jesus of Nazareth. But it only took a few seconds. You know, the Holy Spirit is a fast worker. It doesn't take the Holy Spirit very long. When He says, live! Life happens. Regeneration power. The manifestation of Jesus Christ Himself from heaven will soon subdue anyone. That's why, and I believe He was here today already. What a worship service. What a time of praise we've had today. That's because Jesus drew near. And when He draws near, things happen. You see, you don't come to Christ on your own. He has to come and find you. And I know I've been saying this for 50 years this year. I hear people often say, I found the Lord! I found the Lord! And they're sincere. But the truth is, you didn't find the Lord. He wasn't lost.
He found you. How true. Saul inquires with a sacred curiosity, "Who art thou, Lord?" And then he surrenders and cries out, "What wilt thou have me to do?" It seems as you read these passages, he seems to cry, "I give up my weapons. I submit to be your servant. You have conquered me." Somebody said, "You know, I got saved, took Jesus as my personal Savior, and about 10 years later, I made Him Lord." You don't make Him Lord. He's already Lord. In fact, you've got it reversed. The first thing He does is set up His Lordship in the sinner's heart. And you bow. And then you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He becomes your Lord and Savior. And then your desire is, "What wilt thou have me to do?" Many times I have heard that I preach a message that gives people a license to live like hell. People don't need a license. No, what I preach is this. The first thing Jesus does in saving the sinner is conquer them and sets up His Lordship, sets up His throne in their hearts. That's the first thing He does. I know some of you have experienced this. Jesus set up His Lordship in your heart and you have these strange, weird feelings. Here you are in an inner city building that once was a bar, loving it. Where used to, you would never have thought of coming over here. You found the fanciest buildings, the most appropriate places. You've been conquered. You fell at the feet of Christ. And that's what it means to be saved. "Only raise me up and give me something to do in your service." That was his cry. "For I will gladly undertake it." Let me tell you this. If the Lord has saved you, He has called you for purpose. One of the greatest things about Miss Pam's death last Wednesday and God giving her life back was there is no doubt in my mind that God has a purpose for that gal. I hope I'm in on it. Because people don't die and get life back unless God does it. "Who art thou, Lord? Tell me who you are." And that's what salvation is. This is eternal life, that you might know God in Christ. Seeing God in the face of Jesus Christ. And when that happens, there is this longing to obey. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice. And I know them, and I give unto them eternal life. And they follow me." The sheep follow. It's not a straight path. The sheep follow like this. But the sheep do follow. "Who art thou, Lord? If any would be saved, you must be brought by divine grace to be an earnest inquirer after the knowledge of Christ." Is that what you want? Is that what you want? "Who art thou, Lord? Reveal yourself to me." If you don't have a revelation of Christ, if He doesn't reveal Himself to you, you're going to be a phony religionist. You are. There must be and will be a willingness to be taught. Saul of Tarsus is eager to be taught. He wants to know. Do you want to know?
I tell you this, the Apostle Paul, after 30 years of preaching in the book of Philippians, said, "Oh, that I might know Him." Well, wait a minute, Paul, don't you know Him? Yes, I do, and no, I don't. Do you know what is going to take up heaven's eternity? Getting to know Him. While the ages pile themselves one on top of another, He's going to be revealing the riches of His grace and mercy to us in Christ Jesus. Boy, if you get bored now, you wouldn't like heaven. If hearing grace to you is boring now. I think Saul of Tarsus asked this question with deep anxiety. "Who art thou, Lord? What right, what power do you have to save?" I hope to live a few days when men and women are anxious to understand the truth. Because when there is that holy anxiety to know the truth, that God has invaded history, that God is a God of grace. A few weeks ago, we were playing at our golf outing. I'm a horrible golfer, but I love to be asked questions about God. It's an amazing thing. I hope you are inquiring about God. God invaded history. God came down to earth. God came down here for a purpose, for a reason. God in human flesh, to take my sins in His own body on the tree of the cross. I want to know more about that. God, the Heavenly Father, imputing, charging, and accrediting all of my filth to Him. God punishing Him in my room and stead and place, and punished Him to the point that Jesus said, "It's done, it's accomplished, all their sins are paid for." Willing to learn. I want to know more about that. That never gets old to me. I love to hear people's testimony. To those who know Him best, I love to hear your story of how He saved you, how He brought you from death to life, from darkness to light, what God is doing in your life. The Bible says, "Search the Scriptures." And I was convicted as I studied for today's message. We don't have our baptismal pool yet. And I'm going to tell you, as you search the Scripture and you come to know Christ, you're going to want to be immersed in water and say to the world, "He's my Lord, He's my Savior, He died for me on the tree of the cross, He was buried for me, He arose again for me." We're going to get busy about that. He's able to save because He's the Son of Mary and yet the Son of God. He is man, your brother, touched with the feelings of your infirmities, yet He's God eternal. When Miss Pam was dying Wednesday, I'm such a baby. I try to picture myself as the man of God, maybe a little bit to you. But when she was dying, and I knew she was dying, I needed a big God. And I knew He was big enough. I didn't know exactly what His will was. But I remember thinking and crying out, "You are the eternal God!" That's what I said. "You are the eternal God! Don't let her die!" My God is so big. And I'm going to tell you this too. I also had a consciousness if she died, He would be there. It's good to know God. It's just good to know God. And that He always does right. What a way to live. God always does right because He's righteous. He's prophet, priest, and king. Prophet, you must be taught by Him as prophet. He's priest. You must be washed by His blood sacrifice. He's king. He's King of kings and Lord of lords. I think it most interesting that the Apostle Paul didn't say, I take you as my personal Savior, where's the decision card? He didn't do that. He said, who art thou, boss? You ever been knocked on your duff by Almighty God? You ever been brought down low? You can't fall out of bed when you're sleeping on the floor. There's only one way to look, and that's up. Who art thou, boss? I am Jesus, the one you persecute. What a revelation that was. Oh, what a revelation that was. Oh, you are that one who was the friend of publicans and sinners. You are that one who hung out with the worst of the worst. You're that one. No doubt it gave him hope. You know, if God the Holy Spirit leaves us alone, we'll be such liars. We're such fakers. We're so phony. And especially when it comes to religion, we act like we're better than we are. We pretend stuff. You are here and a member of some church, and your family have been whatever they've been for years and years, and you have pedigree, but you have never come to know the living Lord Jesus Christ and the free pardon of sin. That's what needs to happen today. That's why I'm talking to you. If I can make you mad, maybe I can make you glad. Maybe someone in here will begin to think, that preacher described me. I'm a Saul of Tarsus. I'm religious, but I'm such a hypocrite. Whatever happened to Paul, I know one thing that happened to Paul on the Damascus Road. He experienced repentance. Repentance is a godly sorrow. You've lived all your life shunning Jesus Christ. God in the flesh, who died in the sinner's stead, and it's nothing to you. Or, it's something, but not much. It's something like this. Often in my 50 years, I have said, are you a Christian? Oh, I'm a Catholic. That isn't what I ask you. Oh, I'm a Baptist. Oh, I'm a Presbyterian. Wrong answer. Hell will be filled with religious people. In fact, even at the judgment, people are going to say things like this. Lord, Lord, liar, liar, pants on fire. You're calling him Lord, but he's not your Lord. Lord, have we not done many wonderful works, of course, in your name? The bypass is you do it in the name of Jesus. But, watch this. Watch what you do in the name of Jesus, but deep down inside, it's not about Jesus at all. It's about you. It's about your churchianity. It's about your religion. And let me say to all the Calvinists here, be careful that you don't get puffed up in your Calvinism. Now it's getting quiet. Because, you know, John Calvin supposedly started the Presbyterian Church. And I use that term occasionally. Miss Pam doesn't like for me to use it. So now I don't use it since she's had a heart attack around her. Calvinism. But I use that for brevity. But there is no doctrine that ought to produce pride in any man. Whatever the doctrine is. God didn't elect you or choose you because you were better than someone. In fact, when God looked down from heaven, he couldn't find a good person. And it is not doctrine that takes you to heaven, it's Christ alone. You come to Christ and He teaches you His doctrine. Not the other way around. That's for all the theologians here. The knowledge of Christ will lead you to complete submission. I surrender. You've heard me say this for 34, 35 years. Those of you who've been around, hoist the white flag. Lay the shotgun down. Surrender, fall at His feet. You're wretched and blind and poor and miserable. You need a Savior. You need a Redeemer. You need a substitute. And then, to all of us here, and this is my great inquiry, especially, it seems like, after the events of the past week. What do you want done? I really want to know. What do you want me to do? What do you want me to do as pastor? What is it we're doing here, not doing here, that we need to do? The balcony's empty, should be full. There are seats in this place empty, should be full. I'm getting especially concerned about our kids and our youth program here, our nursery. I'm having tremendous thoughts. We graduated three from the daycare. Was that what night was that? Friday night. They walked across this stage. That was here. It was only about 40 people, but three graduates. And they had cap and gowns. I said to myself, we should have done more, should have had everybody here, should have had the church here. You should have been able to see that. We've got it on film. But I went home saying this. Our daycare, when you prick it, it must bleed with the blood of Christ. Those preschoolers need to have Scripture read to them. They need to memorize Scripture. They need to be taught the Bible. Everything that goes on over there at that building, 35 East Huron, you ought to just barely prick it, and it bleeds with the substitutionary work of Jesus Christ. He's honored and glorified. This whole thing, it's not about us, it's about Him. What would you have me to do? I'll tell you the best way to find out what the Lord wants you to do is get a Bible and read it. And God will speak to you. It's often said that maybe I ought to be a little kinder. And to be honest with you, I try to be, and then I read the Bible. And Jesus said to the Pharisees, "You snakes!" I don't think I've ever called you a snake. But Jesus did. "You generation of vipers! You whitewash the outside and are full of dead men's bones on the inside." I didn't say that. Jesus said that. And the Pharisees picked up stones to stone the woman taken in adultery. Many of you in here have come out of prostitution. It'd be no hope for you were not Jesus the Savior of sinners. I said to somebody, "We're going to have a Bible conference preaching grace in the hood." This was a churchy person. And they go, what did you say? I said, preaching grace in the hood. Jesus came into the world to seek and to save that which was lost. He said, well, people don't need a physician. It's sick folks. Amen. He's the friend of publicans and sinners. And so the men that are coming to preach grace in the hood. And we want to invite all the religious people we can invite to our conference, to here to church. We want to find every prostitute in Pontiac, every drunk. Amen. Why are some of you looking at me like, well, I'm going to tell you this. I was here. I left early from the graduation. This would happen nowhere but except at our church. I left early to go home from the graduation to check on Miss Pam. I saw a guy coming around the corner. He came around the corner, and he came up in our entrance there and urinated. It would only happen here. Say, Pastor. Yes, he did. I gave him a little, hey! We're in the right spot.
Right.
This is a big fishing hole. And what I long to see here is men and women, boys and girls come to know Christ. And let me tell you this. He's a greater Savior than you are a sinner. I know some of you are sitting back there thinking, I've done too much and gone too far. Oh, you wouldn't even think that way if God the Holy Spirit hadn't showed you that. To me, that means God's doing something with you. God's speaking to you. It's you that I'm talking to. And here's the invitation. Come, just as you are. Come to Christ. I'm not talking about up front. I'm talking about come to Christ. You can come to Christ right where you are without moving a muscle. Right where you are. Trust Him. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Do you see your filth, your sinnership? Trust Him. And then it's going to leak out on you. Yeah. If Christ ever gets inside of you, it's going to leak out on you. At some point, you're going to walk this aisle and say, He saved me. Maybe today. Maybe saved you last week. But I do know this. I do know this. God, something's happening here. Something's happening with me. I know that. I know all of this has purpose and reason. I know that, and I'm thrilled by that. I get to preach my brother's funeral. What an honor. I was thinking about that this week. I talked to Ronnie, I don't know, a few weeks ago. Life was tough. He told me some things. I have some things I can tell his family to comfort them. I got to preach my mother's funeral. My mother, before she died, told me some religious things that she no longer believed, that she and I had some differences about. I don't know what God's doing, but He's doing something. And all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to them who are the called according to His purpose. This is not just a church in the mix. This is a church that really and truly God's doing something with. I believe, you know, since I've been home with Pam, I've got to watch a lot of religious services. And I have been shocked, wonderfully shocked, by some people, I would never have imagined these guys would have started preaching grace.
Amen.
But I have seen at least three men that I know at one time did not preach grace. I saw them preaching and heard them preaching. God's doing something. God is doing something. This is His message. It is a grace message. It is. All right, let's stand together and praise our God.